Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from the Metropolitan Tabernacle Pulpit. That was the pulpit of Charles Spurgeon. We started the last time with a message called Satanic Hindrances. And he uses the reference where Paul says he was hindered by Satan. And he went on to show how many people in the Old Testament were hindered in the same way. And he says today, we shall now, in the second place, indicate many ways in which Satan has hindered us. The prince of evil is very busy in hindering those who are just coming to Jesus Christ. Here he spends the main part of his skill. Some of us who know the Savior recollect the fierce conflicts which we had with Satan when we first looked to the cross and lived. Others of you here this morning are just passing through that trying season. I will address myself to you. Beloved friends, you long to be saved, but ever since you have given any attention to these eternal things, you have been the victim of deep distress of mind. Do not marvel at this. This is usual, so usual as to be almost universal. I should not wonder if you are perplexed with the doctrine of election. It will be suggested to you that you are not one of the chosen of God, although your common sense will teach you that it might just as well be suggested to you that you are, since you know neither the one nor the other, nor indeed can know until you have believed in Jesus. Your present business is with the precept which is revealed, not with election which is concealed. Your business is with that exhortation, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It is possible that the great fighting ground between predestination and free will may be the dry and desert place in which your soul is wandering. Now you will never find any comfort there. The wisest of men have despaired of ever solving the mystery of those two matters, and it is not at all probable that you will find peace in puzzling yourself about it. Your business is not with metaphysical difficulty, but with faith in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is simple and plain enough. It is possible that your sins now come to your remembrance, and though once you thought little of them, and now it is hinted to you by satanic malice that they are too great to be pardoned, to which I pray you give the lie by telling Satan this truth, that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto you. It's very likely that the sin against the Holy Ghost much molests you. You read that whosoever shall speak a word against the Holy Ghost, it shall never be forgiven him. In this, too, you may be greatly tried. And I wonder not that you are, for this is a most painfully difficult subject. One fact may cheer you. If you repent of your sins, you have not committed the unpardonable offense, since that sin necessitates hardness of heart forever. And so long as a man has any tenderness of conscience and any softness of spirit, he has not so renounced the Holy Spirit as to have lost his presence. It may be that you are the victim of blasphemous thoughts. This very morning, since you have been sitting here, torrents of the filth of hell have been pouring through your soul. At this, be not astonished. For there are some of us who delight in holiness and are pure in heart, who nevertheless have been at times sorely tried with thoughts which were newer born in our hearts, both which were injected into them, suggestions born in hell, not in our spirits, to be hated and to be loathed, but cast into our minds that they might hinder and trouble us. Now, though Satan may hinder thee as he did the child who was brought to Jesus, of whom we read that as he was coming, the devil threw him down and tore him, yet do thou come notwithstanding. For though seven devils were in him, Jesus would not cast the coming sinner out. Even though thou shouldst feel a conviction that the unpardonable sin has fallen to thy lot, yet dare to trust in Jesus. And if thou dost do that, I warrant thee, there shall be a joy and a peace in believing, which shall overcome him of whom we read that he hath hindered us. But I must not stop long on any one point where there are so many. Satan is sure to hinder Christians when they are earnest in prayer. Have you not frequently found, dear friends, when you have been most earnest in supplication, that something or other will start across your mind to make you cease from the exercise? It appears to me that we shake the tree and no fruit drops from it. And just when one more shake would bring down the luscious fruit, the devil touches us on the shoulder and tells us it's time to be gone. And so we miss the blessing we might have attained. I mean that just when prayer would be the most successful, we are tempted to abstain from it. When my spirit has sometimes laid hold upon the angel, I've been painfully conscious of a counter-influence urging me to cease from such importunity and let the Lord alone, for His will would be done, or if the temptation did not come in that shape, yet in some other, to cease to pray, because prayer, after all, could not avail. Oh, brethren, I know if you are much in prayer, you can sing Cowper's hymn, "What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat." The same is true of Christians when under the promptings of the Spirit of God or when planning any good work. You have been prompted sometimes to speak to such a one. "Run, speak to that young man," has been the message in your ear, and you have not done it. Satan has hindered you. You've been told on a certain occasion, you do not know how, but believe me, we ought to pay great respect to these inward whispers, to visit such and such a person and help him. You have not done it. Satan hindered you. You've been sitting down by the fire one evening reading a missionary report concerning Hindustan or some district destitute of the truth. And you've thought, "Now, I have a little money which I might give to this object." But then it has come across you that there's another way of spending it more profitably to your family, and so Satan has hindered you. Or you yourself thought of doing a little in a certain district by way of preaching and teaching or commencing some new ragged school or some other form of Christian effort. But as sure as ever you began to plan it, something or other arose and Satan hindered you. If he possibly can, he will come upon God's people in those times when they are full of thought and ardor and ready for Christian effort, that he may murder their infant plans and cast their suggestions of the Holy Spirit out of their minds. How often, too, has Satan hindered us when we have entered into the work? In fact, beloved, we never ought to expect a success unless we hear the devil making some noise. I've taken it as a certain sign that I am doing little good when the devil is quiet. It is generally a sign that Christ's kingdom is coming when men begin to lie against you, slander you. The world is in an uproar, casting out your name as evil. Oh, those blessed tempests! Do not give me calm weather when the air is still and heavy, and when lethargy is creeping over one's spirit. Lord, send a hurricane. Give us a little stormy weather. When the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls, then God's servants know that the Lord is abroad, and that His right hand is no longer in His bosom, that the moral atmosphere will get clear, that God's kingdom will come, and His will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Peace, peace, peace. And that's the flap of the dragon's wings. The stern voice which proclaims perpetual war is the voice of the captain of our salvation. You say, how is that? He said, think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. Peace, physical, Christ does make. There is to be no strife with the fist, no blow with the sword, but peace moral and peace spiritual can never be in this world where Jesus Christ is, so long as error is there. But you know, beloved, that you cannot do any good thing but what the devil will be sure to hinder you. What then? up and at him. Coward looks and faint counsels are not for warriors of the cross. Expect fightings, and you will not be disappointed. Whitfield used to say that some divines would go from the 1st of January to the end of December with a perfectly whole skin. The devil never thought them worthwhile attacking. But, said he, let us begin to preach with all our might and soul and strength the gospel of Jesus Christ, and men will soon put a fool's cap on our heads and begin laughing at us and ridiculing us. But if so, so much the better. We are not alarmed because Satan hinders us. Nor will he only hinder us in working. He'll hinder us in seeking to unite with one another. We're about to make an effort as Christian churches in London to come closer together, and I'm happy to find indications of success. But I should not wonder but what Satan will hinder us, and I would ask your prayers that Satan may be put to the rout in this matter, and that the union of our churches may be accomplished. As a church ourselves, we have walked together in peace for a long time, but I should not marvel if Satan should try to thrust in the cloven foot to hinder our walking in love and peace and unity. Satan will hinder us in our communion with Jesus Christ. When at his table we say to ourselves, I shall have a sweet moment now, but just then vanity intrudes. Like Abraham, you offer the sacrifice, but the unclean birds come down upon it, and you have need to drive them away. Satan hindered us. He is not omnipresent, but by his numerous servants he works in all kinds of places and manages to distract the saints when they would serve the Lord. Number three, in the third place, there are two or three rules by which these hindrances may be detected as satanic. I think I heard somebody saying to himself this morning, yes, I should have risen in the world and have been a man of money now if it had not been that Satan hindered me. And do not you believe it, dear friend. I do not believe that Satan generally hinders people from getting rich. He would just as soon that they should be rich as poor. He delights to see God's servants set upon the pinnacle of the temple, for he knows the position to be dangerous. High places and God's praise do seldom well agree. If you've been hindered in growing rich, I should rather set that down to the good providence of God, which would not place you where you could not have borne the temptation. Yes, said another, I had intended to have lived in a certain district and done good, and have not been able to go. Perhaps that is the devil. Perhaps it was. Perhaps it was not. God's providence will know best where to place us. We're not always choosers of our own locality, so we're not always to conclude when we are hindered and disappointed in our own intentions that Satan has done it, for it may be very often the good providence of God. But how may I tell when Satan hinders me? I think you may tell thus. First, by the object. Satan's object in hindering us is to prevent our glorifying God. If anything has happened to you which has prevented your growing holy or useful or humble, sanctified, well, then you can trace that to Satan. If the distinct object of the interference to the general current of your life has been that you may be turned into from righteousness into sin, then from the object you may guess the author. It is not God who does this, but Satan. Yet know that God does sometimes put apparent hindrances in the way of his own people, even in reference to their usefulness and growth in grace. But then his object is still to be considered. It is to try his saints and so to strengthen them, while the object of Satan is to turn them out of the right road and make them take the crooked way. You may tell the suggestions of Satan again by the method in which they come. God employs good motives, Satan, bad ones. If that which has turned you away from your object has been a bad thought, a bad doctrine, a bad teaching, a bad motive, well, that never came from God. That must be from Satan. Again, you may tell them from their nature. Whenever an impediment to usefulness is pleasing or gratifying to you, consider that it came from Satan. Satan never brushes the feathers of his birds the wrong way. He generally deals with us according to our tastes and likings. He flavors his bait to his fish. He knows exactly how to deal with each man and to put that motive which will fall in with the suggestions of poor carnal nature. Now, if the difficulty in your way is rather contrary to yourself than for yourself, then it comes from God. But if that which now is a hindrance brings you gain or pleasure in any way, rest assured it came from Satan. We can tell the suggestions of Satan once more by their season. Hindrances to prayer, for instance, if they are satanic, come out of the natural course and relation of human thoughts. It is a law of mental science that one thought suggests another, and the next, and so on, as the links of a chain draw one another. But satanic temptations do not come in the regular order of thinking. They dash upon the mind at unawares. My soul is in prayer. It would be unnatural that I should then blaspheme, and yet then the blasphemy comes. Therefore it is clearly satanic and not from my own mind. If I am set upon doing my master's will, and presently a recreant thought assails me, that being apart from the natural run of my mind and thoughts may be at once ejected as not being mine, and may be set down to the account of the devil, who is the true father of it. By these means I think we may well tell when Satan hinders, and when it is our own heart, or when it is of God. We ought carefully to watch that we do not put the saddle on the wrong horse. Don't blame the devil when it's you. On the other hand, when the Lord puts a bar in your way, don't say that's Satan, and so go against the providence of God. It may be difficult at times to see the way of duty, but if you go to the throne of God in prayer, you will soon discover it. Bring hither the ephod, said David, when he was in difficulty. Do you say the same? Do you go to the great high priest, whose business it is to give forth the oracle? Lo, upon his breast hangs the Urim and Thummim, and you shall from him find direction in every time of difficulty and dilemma. Fourthly, supposing that we have ascertained that hindrances in our way really come from Satan, then what? Well, I have but one piece of advice, that is, go on. Hindrance or no, go on in the path of duty as God the Holy Ghost enables you. If Satan hinders you, I have already hinted that this opposition should cheer you. I didn't expect, said a Christian minister, to be easy in this particular pastorate, or else I should not have come here. For I always count it to be my duty to show the devil that I am his enemy, and if I do that, I expect he will show me that he is mine. If you are now opposed and you can trace that opposition distinctly to Satan, congratulate yourself upon it. Do not sit down and fret. Why, it's a great thing that a poor creature like you can actually vex the great prince of darkness and win his hate. It makes the race of man the more noble, that it comes in conflict with a race of spirits and stands foot to foot even with the prince of darkness himself. It is a dreadful thing, doubtless, that you should be hindered by such an adversary, but it is most hopeful, for if he were your friend, you might have cause to fear indeed. Stand out against him, because you have now an opportunity of making a greater gain than you could have had he been quiet. You could never have had a victory over him if you had not engaged in conflict with him. The poor saint would go on his inglorious way to heaven if he were unmolested, but being molested, every step of his pathway becomes glorious. Our position today is like that described by Bunyan, when from the top of the palace the song was heard, come in, eternal glory thou shalt win. Now, merely to ascend the stairs of the palace, though safe work, would not have been very ennobling. But when the foe men crowded around the door, blocked up every stair, and the hero came to the man with the ink horn, who sat before the door and said, "Write my name down, sir." Then to get from the lowest step to the top where the bright ones were singing, every inch was glorious. If devils did not oppose my path from earth to heaven, I might travel joyously, peacefully, safely, but certainly without renown. But now, when every step is contested in winning our pathway to glory, every single step is covered with immortal fame. Press on then, Christian. The more opposition, the more honor. Be in earnest against these hindrances when you consider, again, what you lose if you do not resist him and overcome him. To allow Satan to overcome me would be eternal ruin to my soul. Certainly it would forever blast all hopes of my usefulness. If I retreat and turn my back in the day of battle, what will the rest of God's servants say? What shouts of derision will ring over the battlefield? How will the banner of the covenant be trailed in the mire? Why, we must not, we dare not play the coward. We dare not give way to the insinuation of Satan and turn from the Master, for the defeat were then too dreadful to be endured. Beloved, let me feed your courage with the recollection that your Lord and Master has overcome. See him there before you. He of the thorn crown has fought the enemy and broken his head. Satan has been completely worsted by the captain of your salvation, and that victory was representative. He fought and won it for you. You have to contend with a defeated foe and one who knows and feels his disgrace. Though he may fight with desperation, yet he fights not with true courage, for he is hopeless of ultimate victory. Strike then, for Christ has smitten him. Down with him, for Jesus has had him under his foot. Thou weakest of all the host, triumph thou, for the captain has triumphed before thee. Lastly, remember that you have a promise to make you gird up your loins and play the man this day. The promise, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Christian minister, resign not your situation. Do not think of sending in your resignation because the church is divided and because the enemy is making head. Resist the devil. Flee not. Make him flee. Christian young man, you who have begun to preach in the street or distribute tracts or visit from house to house, though Satan hinders you very much, I pray you now redouble your efforts. It is because Satan is afraid of you that he resists you, because he would rob you of the great blessing which is now descending on your head. Resist him and stand fast. Thou, Christian, pleading in prayer, let not go thy hold upon the covenant angel now. For now that Satan hinders thee, it is because the blessing is descending. Thou art seeking Christ. Close not those eyes. Turn not away thy face from Calvary's streaming tree. Now that Satan hinders thee, it is because the night is almost over and the day star begins to shine. Brethren, ye who are most molested, most sorrowfully tried, most borne down, yours is the brighter hope. And be now courageous. Play the man for God, for Christ, for your own soul. And yet the day shall come when you with your Master shall ride triumphant through the streets of the New Jerusalem, sin, death, and hell captive at your chariot wheels, and you with your Lord crowned as victor, having overcome through the blood of the Lamb. May God bless dear friends now present. I do not know to whom this sermon may be most suitable, but believe it is sent especially to certain tried saints. The Lord enable them to find comfort in it. Amen. Amen. Charles Spurgeon with a great encouraging word for soldiers of the cross today. Thank you for being here today, and do look over the rest of my website, will you? There's a whole lot there. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, Lord willing. We're going to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.